Okay, how about this hour? We'll take your questions for Jeff Hilling as we talk about the great Bigfoot film. Let us know what you think, by the way. You can vote over on our Facebook page at coasttocoastam.com about whether you think it's real or a hoax. And take a look at the results while you are there. And we will be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back. Let's take your calls and let's pick it up by going to Larry in Pasadena, California. Go ahead, Larry, you're up with us.
Oh, hey, George. Really nice talking to you. I'm a big fan.
Thank you.
I actually saw Philip Morris lecture at the Magic Castle. I'm a member there a couple of weeks. And he was talking about his costume career. He talked about the Bigfoot suit, actually. And he actually sold it to Patterson. And, you know, he had a real involved story about it. He actually had the suit there. It was an amazing suit. And he actually showed that you actually wore shoulder pads in that suit. The football shoulder pads that they had back then, they were kind of rounded. And it really gave the suit a kind of buoyancy. And he actually talked about how the breasts moved up and down, which wasn't intentional. It was actually purely by accident. But the film wasn't very remarkable at all. When you look at it under that context, you can see he's just shooting it. I mean, he's not surprised at the thing at all because, you know, it's the guy in the suit.
So you believe there was somebody in a suit?
Oh, absolutely. There absolutely was somebody in the suit. In fact, he had a film of the guy who was in the suit, and when that guy walked, he walked exactly like Bigfoot. Everybody laughed because it was so amazing. And not only that, the guy who was in the suit was on an episode of a show called Lie Detector, and he showed a clip of that show, and the guy talked about being in the suit, and he passed the lie detector test.
Who was that guy?
I can't remember his name, but I'm sure if you contact Philip Morris, he'll tell you his name.
He's still around. All right, what's your take on all of this, Jeff? Thanks, Larry.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Larry. I know exactly what you're talking about. That man was Bob Hieronymus, who
not the radio Bob Hieronymus.
No. This is a guy who lives. Who was actually, interestingly enough, a neighbor of Bob Gimlin and Roger Patterson when he was alive. He used to go on expeditions at points too, with the two.
All right.
So he was actually a friend of the two. Now, Bob Hieronymus did take a lie detector test, and he did pass. And I cover that in my book, The Great Bigfoot Film Mystery.
Mm-hmm.
I talk about that. I look at all sides of this. I'm not out to prove a point. I'm out to look at the facts, look at the history of this entire episode, this entire historical incident. But you have to remember too, Roger Patterson also passed a lie detector test back in 1970.
Oh, he did? I didn't know that.
He did. So there were two lie detector tests, and Roger Patterson passed one, but so did Bob Hieronymus, and I talk about that in my book.
So how's the conflict then? One guy who says he shot Bigfoot passes, another guy who says he wore the costume passes. How do we know which is which?
So what does that tell us about lie detectors?
Yeah.
It tells us they're his. Unreliable, and that's why they're not allowed in so many states as far as admissible in court. Now, we did see that Philip Morris did claim that he had the suit. Now, we have to look at the background. If you want to look at backgrounds, let's look at Philip Morris's background. He's a showman. He worked in sideshows. He's a costume maker. He's basically like a P.T. Barnum type character.
He's a good costume maker, isn't he?
Oh, he is a great costume. Yeah, I mean, for party makers, I love his costumes. But I dare anybody to go buy a Philip Morris costume and get in it, put whatever you want in it, make any modifications you want. And I encourage people to try this in my book. And I say, film yourself. See if you can fool anybody with a Philip Morris costume or even a homemade costume. And the test has been done several times, and it has always failed. And they put Bob Hieronymus. They actually did this. They actually did an episode. Not only did they take a lie detector test, Bob Hieronymus, but they did a TV series episode a few years back where they put Bob Hieronymus in a costume made by Philip Morris, and they filmed it. And the results were laughable. I think most people who are even against the Patterson film won't even bring this up because the results were so bad. It looked like a high school mascot when they put the guy who was supposed to be the guy in the Patterson film in the costume supposedly made by the costume maker who made the costume of the Patterson film. Now, we should get similar results if we do the two.
You would think.
You would think, it doesn't have to be exact. It's not going to be exact. But you think that it would be somewhat believable. But if you can actually find some of this footage on YouTube and things like that, where they show, it's even on my website, PattersonFilm.com. You can look at the results, and it shows Bob Hieronymus shuffling around in this thing. It looks kind of like a bear suit or something you'd hire for your kid's fourth birthday party. But it wouldn't fool a kid. You know, this is something, it's baggy in certain areas, and it's also tight in certain areas. You don't see muscle movement. It's not going to fool anybody. Nobody's going to be questioning this thing for 40 years. It's very ridiculous. I think, honestly, Philip Morris jumped on this bandwagon to help him sell costumes. I mean, who wouldn't want to be known as the costume maker for the Patterson film? I mean, it's possible it could have been.
Possible. Everything's possible.
Everything's possible. It could have been, but by their results, by what they did, by their experiment, they in a sense kind of shot themselves in the foot. You know, if they're telling the truth, I say this in my book, if they're telling the truth, they've in a sense, I wouldn't say they're telling the truth just by their own evidence, by their own results of this experimental test that was done on this TV show years ago. That itself is so telling that this was not the combination that made the Patterson film. And if you think it is, I dare anybody to try to film something, make it believable, and see if it fools people for 40 years. This should be a slam dunk. If you can put anybody in a Philip Morris costume and film it and fool people, we would have dozens upon dozens of Bigfoot films that people wouldn't be able to explain. What do we have since the Patterson film? We have a bunch of Bigfoot films that nobody cares about, a bunch of fake Bigfoot films that are obviously fake, because we look at them, and there's nothing believable about them. The gait isn't right. The suits aren't right. The arm length is obviously a human. When we look at a lot of these Bigfoot footages, nobody cares about them. Why? Because they're not believable. If it were that easy just to put a man in a Philip Morris costume or any costume or modify a costume, we would have all kinds of Bigfoot footage that nobody could explain. But what do we have? We have one film, the Patterson film, that is so enigmatic that it has withstood the test of over four decades.
All right, next up, let's go to Peg in Ukiah, California. Hey, Peg, go ahead.
Yes, I was wondering, since there's only been like one very believable film of Bigfoot, I was wondering, has anybody tried like infrared technology, night vision technology? It's amazing to me that the Discovery Channel can find like a snow leopard, which is so rare, but nobody can still find this Bigfoot to take more footage of it.
Well, that's one of the problems. When are we going to get one?
Yeah, that's an interesting point there. People have tried. There have been some footage of infrared technology. People have claimed that, you know, you can watch it on YouTube and other streaming videos that they have of an alleged Bigfoot. Some of them are good and some of them aren't. And when are we going to find a Bigfoot? I don't know. See, a lot of people assume there's a lot of Bigfoot out there. People who believe in Bigfoot, they assume there's thousands of them or hundreds of them out there migrating, making patterns. Really, we don't have any evidence of this. We look at the Patterson film. That is the best piece of evidence we have. We have tracks. We have sightings, allegedly. We have sounds people hear. But none of those are actual proof that are going to convince anybody that there is a real Bigfoot. Has anybody ever thought that, is it possible that Roger Patterson may have filmed one of the last remaining Bigfoot out there? Is that possible? That's something that people don't ever discuss or even consider sometimes. What if this was one of the last real creatures that was ever caught on film? What if Roger Patterson just happened to film a real man-beast creature and none has ever been filmed since? It's possible. I'm not saying that is the solution. I'm saying that's a possibility. Things go extinct all the time. Is it possible that Bigfoot was real, now it's just more extinct or is extinct? I don't know.
Well, I don't think it's dimensional, though. Do you?
No, not at all. That's a real living creature, whether it's a person in a suit or it's some sort of wild man or some sort of animal. We don't know. It's physical. Whatever it is, it's a real creature. It was a real creature in that film.
Okay, let's go back to the phones. We'll go to John in Messick, Michigan. There you go, John. Thanks.
That's Messick, Michigan, and good
Messick.
Morning.
Hi.
Well, let me put it this way. I took a trip with my wife last year, and we went to your beautiful state of Washington, and I went up into the Cascade Range, and I took pictures of things that I can't even believe. I took pictures of at least 13 Bigfoots, a couple of dead ones, over 10 humanoid reptilians of various kinds. There are giant animals out there, as in snakes and alligators, but I couldn't believe either. I came across 7 gorillas, a dog man, a cat man, a lizard man. There's 15 humanoids that I cannot identify. There's a 6-foot bronze human fella, which doesn't belong there.
And where are these pictures, John?
They're in the Cascade Range of Washington.
The pictures are?
No, I have the pictures.
That's what I'm saying. How can we look at them?
I'm going to send them to you if you can send me an address.
Okay, we're going to put you on hold, and we'll get that taken care of right now. But before we do that, do you have any questions for him? Jeff?
No, this is going to change everything as far as what anybody ever thinks of Bigfoots. I mean, when you have a Bigfoot sitting with a reptilian, that kind of changes things.
Do you think they're extraterrestrial?
There's a lot of creatures there that are really out of this world. I mean, I've never seen anything like it.
Were you afraid for your safety at any point, John?
No, because I thought I was in the presence of maybe 1 or 2, but when the film came back, it was incredible.
Ah, okay. All right, we're going to put you on hold, and we'll get your address and expedite these pictures to me, if you would. I'd like to see those. What do you think of that one, Jeffrey?
Well, that's some amazing claims. I'd like to see the photos myself. Hopefully, you'll post them on Coast to Coast.
I will post them. I will post them when I get them.
All right, I'm waiting for them.
All right, let's go next to David in Roseville, California. Hey, go ahead, David.
George.
Hi.
Hey, first I want to make a comment about the Patterson film. But first, I want to say thanks this Thanksgiving to all the men and women that are serving this country that are over in those forward operating bases alone. And I just want to wish them a very happy Thanksgiving and everybody else happy Thanksgiving, too. But what I want to say about the Patterson tape was when I first saw it, okay, what I noticed was what they said, that thing was fleeing, and they measured the gait, and it was found to be accurate. So for that size of an animal to be fleeing told me, and what I do for a living, I go on first impressions. My first impression was, that's real. And it was taken in 67. If you look at that thing, it's real. And I believe they shapeshift. I believe they live in, I believe they come down here. I don't believe they're from here, but they come here to get certain things. So that's just me myself.
All right. I need you to react to that, Jeff.
Well, I agree with him on the gate part. When you notice a piece of footage like the Patterson film or any piece of film that claims to be Bigfoot footage, look at one thing if you can see it. You know, if it's clear enough, watch the gate. That's a dead giveaway. If you watch old movies, 1950s, 60s, 40s, we have a lot of examples of people in monster suits, gorilla suits, walking around mimicking movement. And that's usually a dead giveaway. What we see in the Patterson film is a gait like no other. We see a fluid motion. We see an original motion. In other words, what we saw in movies before then is a mimicking of gait, a monkey-like motion. The Patterson film, the creature we see in there is an original motion. Now, if you were going to fake a Bigfoot, wouldn't it stand to reason you would probably mimic something like you would see in the movies, some kind of a ape-like troglodyte creature that has always been presented to us? Why would you go for an original kind of flow movement like we see in the Patterson film? This lurking, lumbering creature swinging its arms has never been done in movies. That's a signature motion indicative only to the Patterson film itself. And since then, it's been tried to be replicated in fake footage. And the giveaway is the way it's done. We see motion that is done kind of like it, but not really like it. In other words, we see people trying to mimic the Patterson film, trying to look like Bigfoot, but it's obvious that it's a human. When we watch monkeys and gorillas, they have a different motion than a person trying to mimic a gorilla. And if you watch old movies, watch an old Three Stooges movie, you're going to notice there's something phony, not only in the costume, but also in the movement. And the Patterson film has such a unique, natural gait to it. Just watch the motion, and you will be amazed at how natural the motion is. If this was a fake, my goodness, it is something else.
Tell me about the cabin that was bombarded by these creatures, with rock pelting the creatures.
Yeah, in my book, I go over, the first thing in my book, I go over a historical account of an actual newspaper account of creatures, Bigfoot creatures, attacking a cabin with people in it. And this is something that was in the news back in the, I believe it was the 1920s. This is one of the historical accounts of Bigfoot.
And they're throwing rocks at it, right?
Yeah. And this is something, this people's testimony, so take it for what it's worth. But there have also been other alleged rock-throwing incidences in news. And even recently, I was watching a documentary, and Jeff Meldrum
yes.
was reporting and had video footage, and what he claimed was Bigfoot throwing rocks at his cabin that he was staying in. And I found that interesting because we're going all the way back to the 20s, and then we're coming into a new documentary just made this year of Jeff Meldrum being bombarded by rocks.
What do they want, throwing rocks?
I don't know. I mean, take it for what it's worth. It's interesting, though. It's interesting to note that it's kind of a, you know, back to the future type of thing. We see this in newspaper articles from the past happening again in today's date.
And, Jeff, we get stories of little baby Bigfoot, too, right? They're
yeah,
everywhere.
I've heard stories of those as well, yeah.
They are everywhere, indeed. Well, give us your website one more time, and we're going to take a break, and then we're going to come back with final phone calls. But go ahead.
Yeah, sure. Go to PattersonFilm.com and check out my book, The Bigfoot, The Great Bigfoot Film Mystery. It's brand new. It's going to give you the secrets. It's going to give you the key. My friend Glenn Greffey, filmmaker, called it the Rosetta Stone of the Patterson film. It will help you figure out the mystery.
Looks like you had fun doing this book.
It was a blast. And it's a lot of research, but it's also, this book takes a little different approach. It's more of a psychological approach. It's more of a philosophical approach. And it's also a logical approach.
We will be back with more final questions with Jeff Hilling, author of The Great Bigfoot Film Mystery, in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Our special guest has been Jeff Hilling, and we're going to come back with final phone calls with Jeff in a moment on our next Coast to Coast program Friday, taking the night off. John B. Wells filling in for me this holiday season, and I hope you're enjoying our special Thanksgiving Day show tonight, and we will be back with more in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Jeff, there was an article written back in the 60s in Argosy magazine with Roger Patterson. Can you give us some highlights of what that was? Because you felt it to be important.
Yeah, I cover that in my book. It was a very telling tale, really. I think people read that article and they don't really understand how crucial it was. Basically, what it discussed and... kind of giving away some of the stuff, but that's okay. I want people to know this. Back in the late 60s, Roger Patterson brought his film, the Patterson film, to Hollywood special effects people from Universal Studios. And they looked at the Patterson film, the people who were doing the special effects at the time, in that day. And I want to just quote here what they said. Patterson told them to look at that piece of film. And what they the guy said was, and this was Dale Sheets, the head of the documentary film department from Universal Pictures in Hollywood. And Patterson asked him to look at the strip of the film and asked him directly, could you reproduce this? And what he said was, quote, no. The expert, he was the expert, and he said, maybe if you allotted a couple million bucks, we could try, but we'd have to invent a whole new set of artificial muscles. We'd have to get gorilla skin and train an actor to walk like that. He said it might be done, but offhand we'd say it would be nearly impossible.
Impossible. Interesting. All right, let's go take final calls. Billy is in Egan, Tennessee, east of the Rockies. Go ahead, Billy. Thanks for calling. You are on the air.
First of all, George.
Yeah.
It's an honor to speak to you on the show. You've got me through some very hard times, man. I listen to you as a comfort source. You're just you're awesome, man. I thank you for being a host. You just don't understand. Right. And Jeff, there, the guy on the show. The last thing you said before the last break, or you keep on saying it, is that it's a real being. You believe this is a real being, whether it's a hoax, it's a person, or it's a Bigfoot, whatever. But you do believe it's real. But the one thing that keeps on coming up in my mind, and I have been interested in Bigfoot since I was, you know, a kid. And I'm only 30 now, but, you know, since I was younger, when they die, where are their bones? You know, nobody's ever got the Bigfoot bones. Nobody's ever got the skin. There's no physical evidence. So, I mean, I just don't understand America. You know, it's like everybody's walked through America over and over. So, I mean, where this guy shot the footage, I mean, where the Bigfoot died, evidently, if he was real. So, I mean, where are the bones from these things? You know, they have to be, you know. Wouldn't you say there'd have to be some physical evidence?
What I would say to you is I challenge you to go out into the woods and find a set of bear bones. Now, we know that bears exist, black bears, grizzly bears, polar bears. I challenge you to go out there and find remains of a bear. Now, bears are very prolific, yet you cannot find their bones. Why? Why is that? Now, if Bigfoot exists, we would probably assume there are much less of them than bears. So the finding of remains is really not an issue. And as far as people think that America is completely explored. There's so much vast wilderness that people don't go into or rarely go into. When you go into a state park, what do you go on? You go onto the paved trails. You go onto the places where they tell you to go. There, have you ever been through the Smoky Mountains, the national parks? There's so many paved trails, areas you're supposed to go in, but yet there's so many parts of the wilderness that people don't explore because they're not paved, they're not convenient. People aren't going through those parts. There is so much vast wilderness in America. People don't realize it. A lot of us live in cities and suburbs and don't realize how much parts of America there are that are not inhabited by people and not also commonly walked by people. It's just too thick. You know, I live in a very remote area myself, and there's a lot of areas I don't go into. I like to stay on the path. You know, I mean, most people do. That's human nature. So to even find bare bones is almost impossible, let alone if there is a creature out there that they're less in number than bears, it would be Bigfoot. It's very difficult. And what happens is scavengers get these bones quickly, and the earth consumes them, and they decay rapidly. And these animals also go to die in a certain place. So you take all those factors into consideration. It's not uncommon. It's not unthinkable to think that we're not finding remains of these creatures if they do exist.
Yeah, they get carried off and everything else. Let's go west of the Rockies. Neil is in Las Vegas, and he's up on Coast to Coast. Hi, Neil. Go ahead.
Hey, George. I was talking to your screener, and he said that perhaps someone had brought this up. I tuned in a little late.
Okay, go ahead.
But I majored in wildlife biology in college, and the two things that make me feel that this is real, the biggest thing is this animal is injured on its right front thigh. If you were to look at the tape, pull it up on your computer, you'd see there is a bulge in the right front quadricep that is significant in the fact that it's caused by an injury. It looks about the size of a fist, and you see the muscle of the quad, almost like a herniation, if you will, bump up under the skin with each stride. If you know about, you know, wildlife biology, you can see it really quickly. I don't know if anyone has mentioned it.
That's an interesting observation. No, nobody has. Jeff, what's your take on that?
And well, Dale's very observant. Yeah, you do see that. We see some kind of bulge in the film. Now, whether this is a film enigma or whether this is actually a hernia, there have been theories based upon this, but we do see the muscle movement. And if this is a costume, this is the greatest illusion ever performed by anybody, bar none. That's why I say that if the Patterson film is fake, it's actually better. It's actually more amazing than if it were a Bigfoot. We do see muscle movements in this. And muscle movements are something that even to this day, when people have tried to recreate this in documentaries, they've not been able to do it successfully. Hollywood artists can't do it successfully. And what Dale is talking about, we see some sort of herniation, whether this is a film enigma or not, but we see muscle movement in this film. We see ripples when the creature takes a stride and comes down on its leg, the weight. We see movement. This is something that can't be replicated in a costume. And if this were just the perfect mixture of light, the perfect mixture of the film, the perfect mixture of all these things coming together at once for 60 seconds consecutively in every single frame, this was something beyond what we can explain. This is something that is an enigma either way, whether this is a real film of a real creature or this was a hoax. This film is something else.
What do these creatures eat?
Well, there's a lot of theories on that. What do they eat? Who knows? I guess, you know, the what I tell people, I've been asked this before, I tell people jokingly, what does Bigfoot eat? Bigfoot eats whatever he wants.
Whatever he wants, yeah. I remember getting a call once during my open line segment, Jeff, and the fellow called and said he was out fishing. He had a couple fish that he had caught, and that as he was walking, he walked right into a Bigfoot, which was staring him down, and he was just frozen, petrified. And he said the Bigfoot kind of looked at him, looked at the fish that he was holding two of them, and he handed them over to the Bigfoot because he figured that's what he wanted. And he said Bigfoot took them and then looked at him and gave one back. Now, that to me, if that's a real story, a true story, that tells me something about these creatures.
It tells me he's very polite and a gentleman, if that's true.
Sharing. Let's go to Sylvia, Jacksonville, Florida. Go ahead, Sylvia.
I'm a Coast to Coast insider, so usually I'm listening
super.
The next day. But tonight I woke up and here you have something on that I have something to contribute to. The probably 76, 77, I was acquainted with the Wrangler from the Patterson expedition. And when he went out on the expedition, he had dark hair, and when he came back, it was white. And his wife verifies that this was the case. So I would say it was a frightening experience for the people on the expedition.
That is something. All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Great having you as an insider. Tanya in California. Go ahead, Tanya.
Yeah. Hi. We've seen where I live. My husband has seen Bigfoot. I've seen Bigfoot. My grandmother saw Bigfoot about 45, 50 years ago. Neighbor has seen Bigfoot and doing just a whole bunch of different things. It sounds kind of crackpotty, but it's like activity goes up during the spring, and usually they're walking or traveling or, I don't know. I don't know how to tell you to believe, so somebody would believe me, but it's, we've seen them, you know. I don't need the Patterson video because I saw it standing on the side of the road. My husband saw it walking through some trees, grabbing trees as it was walking, you know, kind of pulling itself along.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How tall was it, Tanya?
Well, I think, when I saw it on the side of the road, I couldn't really tell you because, I'm not a good judgment of height and or distance. My husband said the one that he saw looked pretty tall, and plus it was kind of hunched over. He says it was taller than a man, and its stride was pretty big, and its arms were very long, he said, because it was grabbing like saplings as it was walking between the trees, kind of like propelling itself. We were driving about maybe 25 miles an hour.
All right. That's a pretty good description. What do you get in terms of height description, Jeff?
Well, in the Patterson film, actually, it's not conclusive at this point. We have Bill Munns working on it as we speak. He's probably the best source of information as far as the technical aspects of the film, the height, the diagrams, the mathematics. He's doing a phenomenal job in what he's doing. And out of all the people doing Bigfoot research, he's actually one that is very technical. He's one that's not full of BS. You can really take his work to the bank because he's all about logic, math, and everything else in science, as far as what we see in the Patterson film. Now, there have been different measurements of this creature. It's been everywhere from basically 6 feet to 6.5 feet to almost 7.5 feet as far as the measurement of the creature in the Patterson film. So it does run the gamut of being just a person in a suit versus something that is way too big to be a person in the suit, especially back in 1967, where it was much more odd to see somebody over 6.5 feet tall than we do today with all the basketball stars and whatnot.
Let's go to Patrick in Stevens Point, Wisconsin. Go ahead, Patrick. Thanks for calling.
Hi. I saw the digital analysis of the Patterson film, and they talked about the upper lip fold like that of an ape
in the, okay,
in the video and or in the film, and also in the gait. They also talked about an additional joint. They recognized an additional joint in the foot that would account for the stride. And on a personal note, I've actually had two experiences in central Wisconsin area. And the one I saw in 2000 was probably for 2 to 3 minutes near
an
airport.
Pretty good. That's pretty good length at all. Pretty good indeed. Jeff, you know, these stories keep coming in time and time again. Something's out there, kid.
Yeah, and I've heard, I was at the bank not too long ago, and the bank teller told me, I live in a very small town, and the bank teller just knew I had a website and was involved with Bigfoot, and they just happened to pass the information that, hey, we saw something, we heard of a person who saw something in town, of a Bigfoot. Now, this was never made the news, it was never publicized, this was just a local story. And to my knowledge, it was never acknowledged publicly or nobody went to investigate it. But they said, hey, they saw Bigfoot. And they were fairly certain. And it was just told to me just as a, you know, passing conversation for the day. And things like that are very convincing to me. They're very intriguing, because when things aren't being done for publicity, they're not being done for money, they're just being talked about amongst the locals. That's very convincing.
Are
it's
most
not proof. I wouldn't say it proves anything, but at the same time, it's very intriguing.
Are most of the sightings in the West, Northwest?
Yeah, most of them are in the Northwest and in California, and they tend to go also in the somewhat in the Southeast, in the Smoky Mountains. There's quite a few, actually, and in Florida, too, with the, you know, they call it the skunk ape down in Florida. You know, whether that's the same creature or not, but I do find that, have you ever seen that picture, George, of that skunk ape? There's two photos of it. They were anonymous, but they're very compelling. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, that is a very compelling.
And there's another, Lauren Coleman has told us about the Gigantopithecus. What is it?
Yeah. Yes, and I think he claims that that picture could possibly be that, and it's very compelling. I've never seen anything like that photo. That's a very interesting piece of footage.
They're all out there. They're all out. Jeff, we've got about a minute or so left, and I wanted to give you an opportunity again to tell us about your book, The Great Bigfoot Film Mystery, where we can get it, what your website is. Take some time. Go ahead.
Sure. Thanks, George. It's The Great Bigfoot Film Mystery. It's a book, and this is a little different than all the other books. It's not full of technical data, because there's a lot of books already that have done that. This is more insight. This is more philosophy. This is more logic. What are we dealing with in this? And this film talks about the history of the Patterson film, where it's going, where it's been.
Well, it's a great book, my friend. It's called The Great Bigfoot Film Mystery. The website, of course, is pattersonfilm.com. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving, everyone. For Dan Galante, Will Wilkerson, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudasur, Stephanie Smith, Ross Mitchell, George Knapp, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.